Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Chris Prosperi of Metro Bees Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Alex Province of Eater and Goodman Wine Distributors, Lori Mack, Senior Producer, and Producer Jonathan McNichol. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
You can tell your friends, no matter where they live, you see that we're excited because it's a Thanksgiving
yes.
show. Tell them they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. And remember that website, because that's ours, and that's where all of the food recommendations, cookbooks, recipes, cocktails, wines, everything is at that site, WNPR.org. So we're going to have tips, recipes, and wine recommendations on this Thanksgiving prep show. All right, here comes tip number one. Now is, see if you agree with this, folks. Now is a great time to shop for Thanksgiving groceries because the prices go up the closer you get to the holiday.
So your ingredients, like all the nuts and all the things that will actually keep for a little while.
Are up $2.
Potato chips.
After this show, I'm going right there.
This is when you buy your potato chips.
Really?
And
seriously.
You just save them until Thanksgiving.
I say to myself, I am one of the bad behaving people. I mean, I go out at the last minute. I'm in with a crowd. And I look at the prices of certain things and I say, why do I do this? Every year. And this year I thought, oh, no, I'm going to really do the right thing. Okay, tip number two. Plan your meal now with us to figure out what you can do ahead and freeze. And Lori has some great tips about this. She found a great book for this. All right, let's go. We're not going to say a word about stuffing because don't we all know that everybody's got a favorite
Ooh,
stuffing?
Don't mess with stuffing. Yeah, but don't mess with it.
No,
people
just like
that's it.
The stuffing recipe and they very rarely experiment.
What do you put in yours, just out of curiosity?
Well, I put a little bit of sausage. Sometimes I put chorizo, so I do experiment a little bit. I'm a Spanish guy, Alex. And then I put the regular Bell's seasoning. And sometimes I put, with the sausage, a little bit of hamburger and mix
that.
It together with white Pepperidge Farm bread.
There you go.
I don't do the bags of the croutony stuffing-y things. I do it the way my mother did it.
Don't forget bacon.
And that's what Alex and I were talking about.
Exactly.
You try to recreate what your parents did.
Well, it's good. She did good.
Yeah, my recipe's the best.
Yeah.
No, it is good.
It's good.
I bring that stuffing to my family.
Because they don't have it.
There's only one recipe that's good.
I mean, I shouldn't say what their stuffing
is. Because theirs is not as good as mine.
No, it's... There's this ham and egg
Point
with
proven.
No seasoning.
Point proven.
It's good.
All right.
They're
going right.
to be listening.
Let's go. We're not. No, they're on the Cape.
That's
okay,
it.
Let's go.
We're
so
online.
Let's talk. Let's talk Italian turkey rub. This is easy. We're going to talk about a garlic parmesan potato pie. We're going to talk about sides, dessert, a sparkling wine, surprisingly, that goes with the turkey. You can start with it. You can go straight through the meal and serve it for dessert. This is an all-in-one, and it is so festive and gorgeous looking. All right, let's start with the spice rub. Well, first of all, what do you all do for the outside of your turkey? Does anybody do anything special?
Butter, salt, pepper, the minimum, right?
All right. Alex and Lori, Chris?
I only do butter and salt and pepper as well.
Yeah, I'm more with you. I do olive oil, and then I hit my spice cabinet.
Okay.
I like lots of different stuff. I don't have a recipe. I just
We're purists over here.
You're purists.
Jonathan,
yes.
What does your mother do? We have no idea. Okay.
Jonathan, you don't do any cooking for Thanksgiving?
I do a lot of watching other people cooking.
All right. So here we go. This is a recipe. This is my favorite thing to put on the outside of turkey. And I do a turkey because I go to my family's every year. And you want to come home and be able to make turkey sandwiches. And it's not that they won't send me out with a big container, but, the next day you want more. And so this is the go-to spice rub. This is a fennel spice rub for turkey. Again, you're going to find this on the website. Don't worry about writing it down. And this comes from Michael Chiarello. I say Chiarello. He is so wonderful. I led a food and wine tour to Napa Valley, and we made a stop at Michael's place because I wanted everybody to meet him and to see what he's doing. He has a cooking show on television. He's just terrific. He's in Napa Valley. So this recipe is a cup of fennel seeds, some coriander seeds, white peppercorns, a little kosher salt, rosemary sprigs, lemon, and extra virgin olive oil. This is so easy. Chris, you know how to do this because you do it the same way.
Yeah.
So the thing you want to do is toast your seeds because in a dry pan, believe it or not, because this brings out the flavor. You know, you have to watch them like a hawk the way you watch toasted nuts in anything. So I do it in a little toaster oven so I can stand there and really watch this. So fennel seeds, that's the majority of it, coriander seeds, and the peppercorns in a dry pan over medium heat on the stovetop. You watch it carefully, carefully, and you stir it frequently because you're watching it to go a kind of light golden brown, and the fragrance will come popping off of these from the heat. So then you pour the seeds onto a dinner plate. And you just leave them there because they cannot be warm. Because they're going in the blender next. Mm-hmm. They cannot be warm or you're going to clog up the blender. So I have a rule. I say 30 minutes. I set my timer 30 minutes on the plate, on the dinner plate.
One glass of wine.
That's
my timer.
Then you just pour those seeds into the blender. You add the kosher salt. Mind you, we're not saying table salt. It's a difference. Yeah. Kosher salt. And then you just pulse it. You blend that mixture until it's a fine powder. Sometimes you tap the sides of the blender now and then to make sure all the seeds are pulverized and they're going down next to the blade. And you can then store that mixture in a tightly sealed jar, or you can freeze it. You want to keep that jar in a cool, dark place, or you can freeze it in the freezer and just take it out and use it. So this is, you could do this now and have it ready for Thanksgiving. So now we put the turkey on the table, and what do? Chris, you must do yours this way, too. You wash and dry the turkey inside and out. Of course, you've taken stuff out of the cavity. Everybody makes that mistake once or twice.
The plastic starts smelling in the oven.
Then you coat generously with extra virgin olive oil. You coat the outside and the inside with the olive oil. Yeah. Then you press the seasoning mixture onto the outside of the turkey with your fingers. Just sprinkle it all over and press it in all over the turkey. Yeah, press it in so that it sticks to the skin and the olive oil. Then you take a lemon, cut it in half, and throw it inside the cavity. Okay, so it's in there with some olive oil, and the lemon halves are in there. You spray or put some olive oil in the bottom of your roasting pan. You take 4 sprigs of rosemary and you make a little bed across the bottom of the pan and you sit the turkey on top of the rosemary sprigs. Wow. And then you roast it. It's beautiful. You just roast that thing according to the – I don't know what size your turkey is, but just go online. You could check a million places how many minutes per pound. So whatever they tell you, that's how long you roast it. And then we're going to leave it to you to make a gravy. You can use all the juices from the bottom of the pan with the rosemary and the – little bit. Yum. It's so delicious.
But don't feel bad about buying the jarred stuff.
No, don't. No. You know, do whatever you're used to doing.
Listen, if you deep fry a turkey, you don't have any gravy.
And you can doctor store-bought gravy by putting in a little white wine, a little butter, and so vermouth and butter, and you can just doctor it up.
You can buy canned chicken broth and use it.
Now, if you want to get this recipe, I guarantee you this is a beautiful flavor, and it is not spicy so that kids don't want it. But it has this kind of beautiful flavoring and aroma. It's just for all ages. So if you want to see this and all the other things we're talking about on our Thanksgiving prep show, go online to our website at WNPR.org and just click on programs to find the Faith Middleton Show, and it'll take you right to our site. You'll see everything there. So we're going to get to the Parmesan potato pie as a wonderful side. But Lori, you have a book that has some terrific things in it for do-aheads. And this is called Happy Holidays, Diva of Do-Ahead. This is Diane.
Love the title.
Diane Phillips. So, Lori, give us a couple of ideas of things we can do ahead.
All right. I have to go along with the Parmesan theme, though. The Parmesan crusted creamed corn, I have to make double every year because it's such a hit. It's butter, grated Parmesan cheese, heavy cream, of course, some frozen white corn, salt, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of flour. And you go through all the steps of preparation, and just before you get to the part where you would throw it in the oven, the Diva Do-Ahead says that you can wrap it up and either refrigerate it for 3 days, or you could actually put it in your freezer now, a month in advance.
Wow.
and then pull it out, and then you can bake
and then
it.
Finish your thing.
Exactly.
Well, and do you have to use fresh corn, or can you use frozen corn?
No, it actually calls for 2 packages of the frozen white corn. Mm. I always get the nice Cascadia Farms.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do.
It's holidays. It's fancy time.
Do you know, there's a tip about frozen corn. If you very gently simmer it in milk, it takes on a sugaring. It sugars up and becomes a kind of sweet corn, as if you've had it off the corn.
There are two things that freeze really well, corn and peas.
Yes,
so I'm never
right.
afraid to substitute frozen in those two things because there's very little difference.
How about cranberry sauce? Can we do that ahead?
Yes. Yeah, so this cranberry sauce recipe I always do ahead. I always do it 2 or 3 days ahead. This just calls for the fresh cranberries, granulated sugar, orange juice. It calls for fresh rosemary, and grated orange zest. I do everything except for the fresh rosemary because I have children, adult and actual children, who don't like the rosemary.
Okay.
So.
And that orange zest is a key.
It is.
This is very much like Julia Child's cranberry recipe. And so that's a good one to see. You can even look up her recipe. She made a great one. It's a little on the tart side for people who like it that way. And that recipe is from, not Julia's, but the recipe Lori just gave is from How to Cook a Turkey. And that's from the publishers of Fine Cooking magazine.
Great.
And they do all they have a great timeline in there. Okay, let's move on in our next segment to the garlic parmesan potato pie. Lori and I were having a debate about whether we should have two things that had Parmesan in them for Thanksgiving. And we thought, no, that'll
Why
work.
Not?
It's matchy-matchy. And Chris, you said...
Matchy-matchy. That's like saying that we should only put butter in one thing.
Or just have one kind of potato.
Or just eat one pie. Right?
No, that's silly.
Who does that on Thanksgiving?
No.
All right, so I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. We have garlic Parmesan pie for your Thanksgiving or holiday meal. There are a lot of holidays ahead. More mouth-watering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze Thanksgiving Prep Show. We'll be right back.
Cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight.
Beans.
Cornbread said, now that's all right.
Beans.
Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, producer Jonathan McNichol, and our special guest, Alex Province of Eater and Goodman Wine Distributors. We thank you first and foremost for listening. We're going to get in 2 minutes to garlic potato pie. I'm going to tell you where this recipe is from, and it is killer good. Alex, so what do you do for your side dish at Thanksgiving?
There's never enough room. So Brussels sprouts are fun to do.
How do you do them?
Well, roasting pan, olive oil, toss them, salt, pepper.
No bacon, no crispy bacon.
You could. That sounds good.
But you don't.
Shallots, nothing. You just leave them plain.
I do. I like them when they sort of get toasty and sweet sort of like a little bit of brown bits on certain leaves.
Yeah.
And then try to find room in the oven to put the pan.
Yes.
How many sides
do you cut them in half?
You can. I cut the, if they're too big, I mean, you try to get them sort of similar size.
How many sides do you do?
As many as I can think of.
Like when you say I can't fit in, what are you, 2, 3, 4, 5,
I come from a big family, so
6,
I try to make,
7,
mashed potatoes.
Plus pies, 3 or 4 pies.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I want to see a picture of your table.
Yeah.
Well, could you do those ahead? Could you get them all prepared and sort of semi-cook them and then just heat them up at the end?
I don't see why you couldn't, because we know that restaurants are not making Brussels sprouts for every order from scratch.
Yeah, I think that's a lesson you can take from restaurants. We do 90% of the cooking ahead of time. because we couldn't. If you think about 50 people coming to dinner all at the same time, you couldn't cook everything from scratch. You have to do things ahead. So, and we're not talking about months ahead, but
so,
you can.
But you sear off things. You brown
sear off things.
Brown
things. And you read in cookbooks these recipes that say do up to 75% of it or up to this point and then put it in your refrigerator. Or like even Lori said, up to this point and then put it in your freezer. So, yeah, there's a lot of things you can do ahead.
And everybody at Thanksgiving for some reason seems to have – do you have this at your meal, Jonathan? Green beans. I don't know what
– with the turkey onions on top.
But I think what is it with green beans at Thanksgiving? I just don't even understand. But okay, so we're going to get now – to garlic parmesan potato pie as a side dish for your turkey or for any party you're having or for any meal, I might say. I would eat this three meals a day if I could get away with it. And just beyond that, we're going to talk with you about a sparkler that is so delicious. This is from the Burgundy region of France. It's not as pricey as some of the finer champagnes. It's a steal for the money. It's a rosé, so it looks gorgeous. It's very dry. It is beautiful with turkey, with this parmesan pie. We're going to get to that. And again, everything we talk about is at our website, WNPR.org. Click on programs for the Faith Middleton Show. All right, garlic parmesan potato pie. We just ate this. Well, tell me.
Except there's a typo in the recipe. Yours says, when you gave it to me, said 3 to 4 cloves. I think I read that wrong. I think I did 6 to 8 cloves.
Did you?
Can't you taste it? It's so. I just like looked at it. I was like 3 to 4 because you slice them really thin, and I love thinly sliced garlic. So I put it. You can put extra is what I'm saying.
All right. So this is from the book Farm Stand Fresh. It is a book done by Manuela Suarez and Jean Betancourt, who live on the east end of Long Island. And this is a book about all the farm stands on the east end of Long Island. Recipes developed by Manuela. Jean Betancourt is an artist, and she has done all the paintings and illustrations for the book.
Very beautiful.
And you'll find this at our website, too. But here is Manuela's recipe, or perhaps it's from the two of them, for garlic potato pie. We made this, and it is unbelievably delicious for any meal, but so great for the holidays. So simple as could be, you get boiling potatoes, wash them, dry them, and slice them thin. Some people, 3 to 4 cloves of fresh garlic that you finally slice.
For that.
Half a cup of hot milk, 1/4 cup of breadcrumbs, 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, 3 tablespoons of butter, and 1 to 2 teaspoons of fresh tarragon or thyme. We didn't have it for today's meal, and so, Chris, you used sage, and that was beautiful.
Delicious.
There's sage in your stuffing, no doubt, so that was a nice pairing. So garlic potato pie, you want to hear how easy this is to come together. Butter a 9-inch pie plate. You layer the potatoes and the garlic, and then sprinkle that first layer with about 1/2 or 1/3 of the Parmesan and 1/2 or 1/3 of the butter. Then you repeat the layers. And if you have enough potatoes for more than 2 layers, you divide up the cheese and the garlic the way you should. No garlic on the top layer because it can tend to burn. Then you take that pie plate filled with potatoes and cheese and garlic, and you pour hot milk over it, and then top that with the breadcrumbs. You add that last bit of Parmesan cheese, that last little bit of butter, and you bake this pie in the pie plate for 1 hour. That top will be golden brown. The pie will be tender when you pierce it with a fork, and the great thing about this is you can serve it hot or cold. This is
midnight snack.
I'm telling you.
If it's a room temperature,
this is my favorite thing
on the counter,
in the book.
It wouldn't even make the fridge.
Oven on 375. You know, it takes 1 hour. So great. So
yeah, and I did the potatoes on a mandolin. You know, not a fancy one, one of those cheap plastic ones.
Yeah. And if you don't have one, just use a knife.
Yeah, use a knife. But if you do the mandolin, it came together so fast. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is going to take me so long to make. And it took 1/4 of the time to make than it did to bake. So
Chris,
I like recipes
you added
like that.
Extra garlic because you're a garlic nut. And I'm a Parmigiano-Reggiano
fan.
So I had extra
garlic. There might be more
Parmesan
than 1/4 cup in this batch.
Crispy and golden on the top.
Crunchy.
So good. Oh, yeah.
And the advantage of eating it cold might be that it all stays together and you can just pick it up.
Tortilla,
right? I mean,
well, with a beer.
Tortilla.
But I was thinking, imagine, say, using milk, you use cream. Did that make it better?
That would totally.
No.
See, the one thing that Chris was saying.
Hello, would it make it? That would be, that's like saying if I added a little more butter, would it make it better? Of course it would.
You know what? It was so delicious just the way it was. Honestly, it was really. This is one of my favorite potato dishes. I'm encouraging you to make this. Look, if you already have a special potato thing you do for Thanksgiving.
Or three.
You know, then go with your thing. But if you want to try something, this is so remarkable. Or have it for another holiday meal or any dinner party. But make two because it will disappear. Manuela and Jean serve it for breakfast the next day with a fried egg on
top.
It.
And I wouldn't even room temperature again.
Or day of.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we get to, now you're going to think this is wild because, you know, many people who drink alcohol will have wine with Thanksgiving turkey. There are people who have white with the Thanksgiving turkey. There are people who have red with the Thanksgiving turkey. So Alex and I love this particular sparkler with the entire Thanksgiving meal. This is one of the most delicious sparkling rosé, very dry. That's why I call it Brut. It's going to be on our website, the name of it. Alex is the person who put me onto this, and I went kind of crazy over this thing. And, you know, it is delicious with turkey. You know how the meal is so rich, and the dryness and the sparkle of this cuts through that. It's beautiful. You can give it to people coming in. You can serve it through the meal, and it's fantastic with dessert. So
we call that the mood bath when people walk into the house.
Isn't that great? I love that.
The mood bath. It
kind of washes away all the bad attitude.
And the stress of the holidays and all of that. Yeah.
And then, you know, with dinner, it has great acidity, like you mentioned, so it cleans your mouth, and then the bubbles are sort of like scrubbing bubbles and sort of
happy.
Prepare your mouth for the next bite. And it's beautiful. It's like this gorgeous salmon color.
It really is. And the name Brut means that it's very dry. So when we say rosé, people get confused and they think, oh, we don't want a sweet wine. Some people do, but that's not what this is. This is as dry as a fine champagne. This is from the Burgundy region of France, Beaune, the capital of Burgundy. So we're going to tell you what to write down. But first, here is the deal. The price point on this is fantastic. What is it, a bottle? Around 23, right?
23. Bucks. I mean, so that's, I mean, champagnes are great. They're delicious, but they're pricier. It comes from a smaller area. This is Burgundy, so it's a Cremant de Bourgogne, and they typically are slightly less money than a champagne.
So here's the thing that you want to say when you go to your wine store. And if it's not on the shelf by any chance, all you have to do is tell them the name of the distributor. So we're going to give you the price, the name, and the distributor. So this is Bichot. That's the winemaker. B-I-C-H-O-T. You could pronounce it to remember it. Bichot. B-I-C-H-O-T. Bichot. And it's a Cremant, C-R-E-M-A-N-T. Think of creamy. Rosé. R-O-S-E. And around $23 a bottle is probably the appropriate price for this. And if they do not have it on the shelf, you could go now to your wine store and say, I want to. They'll have it for you probably within 48 hours, right, Alex?
Easy.
Sometimes 24 hours. So Bichot Cremant Rosé, around $23 a bottle, gorgeous in the glass. And you say at your wine store, it's from Goodman and Eder. E-D-E-R, Goodman and Eder. That's the distributor that brings it into the country. They look it up in the book that way. That's why we always tell you the name of the distributor. We're told that our food website online has been crazy with traffic. So if you haven't caught on to this yet, go to the website. You'll see our recipes for the wine, for the potato pie, the Parmesan potato pie, Lori's recipe for the cream corn that comes from the diva of Duane.
But that's
Lori the diva or the other diva?
The other diva. But you can be one too. Okay, so I say have this, my favorite sparkler for quite a long time. You have this straight through the meal.
Perfect.
Wonderful. I can't think of a thing in this meal. Can you, Alex, that this wouldn't go with? Unless something is crazy spicy. Maybe that's the one thing.
So Laura and I were talking, for Thanksgiving, we always have like a medley of wines. So when people come in, I usually put together a case of different kinds of wines. And then as people come in, I serve this, for example, the Cremant would be delicious. And you carry that over through dinner. But then I'll also have Sauvignon Blancs and Pinot Noirs, and then I sort of put them all on the table and let people sort of experiment, because some of the things are difficult to pair, like cranberries are a challenge, but turkey and mushrooms and gravy and Pinot Noir are beautiful. But something like this, the Cremant, it flows throughout the dinner, so it may not be perfect with absolutely everything, but as a whole, it's just refreshing and fun to drink.
Now, Alex, as he described, has wine bottles all over the table, and here's a tip. He's a wine distributor.
I'm thinking the same thing. One bottle, one wine, you know? Don't put it in your mouth when you're eating the cranberries.
But I do want an invitation to your Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. So what about dessert? Alex, what do you do? Are we pie people? Yes. Who are the pie people?
All right. So we have to do – so we were saying banana cream pie and coconut cream pie.
Yeah. Custards. Don't forget the custards.
Pie. And then you have to do pecan pie and apple pie.
Pudding. Lemon meringue.
And lemon meringue, of course.
This is
where you start running out.
Then
Matt will look around like, who's going to eat all this?
Pudding pie.
Chocolate pudding pie.
So am I crazy?
There was no pumpkin pie mentioned there at all.
And pumpkin pie.
I don't do pumpkin.
What?
I don't do pumpkin pie.
For other people, you have to.
That's right.
You got to
have
people.
For me, what other people?
But see, that's the thing. How do you pick one? You have to do many because everyone says, Lord, there has to be lemon meringue. Jonathan, there has to be pumpkin. I mean, everyone. Which one's yours?
I will have.
Has to be.
My sister makes, for my benefit every year, icebox cake with those chocolate cookies and whipped cream.
So there's another
one. So I have that plus I have pecan. So that's my favorite, pecan pie.
So is it one pie per person?
No.
In my house there really was one pie per person.
No, that, really?
Yes.
Eight pies.
And German chocolate cake?
Now, I have never, ever had a Thanksgiving with German chocolate cake.
Oh, that would be awesomely good. Okay, Lori. But Lori's Thanksgiving, I should say, is a carbohydrate festival. It really is. It's thanks carbohydrates.
That's right.
That's
what
it is. How many kinds of potatoes? Biscuits?
Right.
Pie crusts? What do you have? Pasta? I mean, what else do you have?
Pasta.
No stuffing.
Amazing. Yams, mashed potatoes. Alex,
what?
He's agreeing. He says, "Of course, like he knows this table.
Gotta have carbs.
Yams and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you bet.
Faith thought I was crazy.
How many? Well, I'm going to have two kinds of potatoes myself. Since I'm having cheese on mine.
I got cheese on my corn.
I have a true confession here. I must be the only one in the room. My parents started this tradition 3 years ago now, and we do it every year. And I think more and more people are doing it, actually. We go somewhere for Thanksgiving dinner. And we actually walk into we go to the Red Lion in Massachusetts, in Lenox, and we sit there. And they bring us Thanksgiving dinner. And they even give us a little bit to take home with us. And
I've been doing that every year for my whole life. It's just people's families' houses, but that's it.
So am I the only one that goes out for Thanksgiving dinner?
I tried it once and vowed to never do it again.
And because, Faith, have you ever tried it?
I've been trying to get my family to do this one time for my whole life. They will not
do it.
And I want to go to a beautiful inn. Everybody stays over.
We go to the Red Lion Inn. It's a gorgeous big porch.
I know just where I want to go.
I like
Homestead Inn in Greenwich, Connecticut.
I like the chaos.
Are you allowed to argue in a restaurant?
Totally.
It's not the same.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You just go to your room.
The more people, the better.
See, this is why it's better. You just go to your room. There are no fights.
No dishes, no prep.
I don't even care about that. It just goes with the territory.
We just throw the dishes out.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay, so in the Happy Holidays from the Diva of Do Ahead, who's Diane Phillips, she has a suggestion. If you are a cornbread stuffing fan, and I know a lot of people are, I like it with pork roast. It's not my favorite with turkey, but if it is your favorite, good for you. She's got a recipe in here for old-fashioned Do Ahead cornbread, and what she says is that you bake this halfway. In other words, you crumble the cornbread into your broth mixture, which is kind of a seafood broth mixture, seafood stock. Add the eggs. It's moist. And at this point, once you add that broth, is when you can refrigerate this for a couple days or freeze it for a month. And all you have to do is bring the cornbread stuffing to room temperature before you start baking. And on the day of, you bake it until the top is golden brown for 30 to 40 minutes. Let it rest for about 10 minutes, and you're good to go. There are so many do-ahead recipes to make it a little less crazy, so that when you sit down to the table, if you haven't had the mood bath.
He starts the mood bath 3 days early.
I've already started.
All right.
I just want to say that do-ahead thing can really take a lot of the stress off the meal.
Sure,
then you're just baking the turkey and maybe one or two other things on the day, and everything else is just reheat.
Can you do a gravy ahead?
You can do a gravy ahead.
All right. Let's talk about that in our next segment. Okay. So please support your local food growers and food makers. This is our Thanksgiving prep show. We might do one more before the holidays. Find the food, wine, recipes, and cocktails we feature on this show or anytime online at WNPR.org. Click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
Now, it all started two Thanksgivings ago, two years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and a cake. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas tree. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you a marriage ring and a pomegranate too. Ah, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and a pear and love your hair. Ah, come on to my house, come on.
Oh, leave it to Bette Midler. I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is a Food Schmooze party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. That's FaithWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. Because who can spell schmooze? Okay, here we go. We've got Alex Provence, Chris Prosperi, Lori Mack, Jonathan McNichol, and we're doing Thanksgiving prep for you. It's about a month until Thanksgiving. Things get crazy. To recap, if you're just joining the show, we gave you a couple of tips. Maybe we'll add one. The first tip, we're going to get to gravy in a second, but the first tip is now is a good time to do your grocery shopping for Thanksgiving, because the closer you get to the holiday, the more the prices go up.
But while you're there, here's a very important shopping tip. Do not wait until the last minute to get your sage-infused sausage.
Oh, yeah. I remember running around for you that one year.
I've done this.
Supermarkets to find it. The Jimmy Dean sage sausage. Now, some people have to have
it's
it.
It's in my stuffing recipe.
Does that
recipe.
Come in a tube? Or
yeah. It does. And you can get it right now.
That's a good tip. And here's the third tip. Because Thanksgiving often calls for a lot of spices, we gave you my favorite rub for the outside of a turkey, which is fennel coriander. No, it can be expensive. You can spend $40 on spices alone. So I encourage you, as I say on our website at WNPR.org, to go to your health food store where they have the spices hopefully in covered jars or covered bins where there's a lot of turnover, and buy your spices there because it is a fraction of the price. On top of that, the closer you get to the holiday, the more the spice prices go up. I'm all for everybody making a living. Love my supermarket. But hey, you know, why should Thanksgiving cost an absolute fortune? It's expensive enough.
You can get ahead of time.
Yeah, you can.
Totally.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about gravy for a second, because we were doing do-aheads, and Lori said, was reminding us, you can do your cranberry chutney. You can do that ahead. We were talking about doing a creamed corn dish ahead, a cornbread stuffing ahead, a lot of stuffings you can probably do ahead. So why not? Now, my question for Chris was, I've never done the gravy ahead. Can you do it?
Totally. I do gravy ahead. What I do is I'll reduce a little bit of red wine. Pinot Noir works great. And in that, I will put that poultry seasoning.
So hold on now. Let's go back. When you say reduce your wine a little bit, let's explain to people how to do that.
Yeah, so you take a cup of wine, put it in a little saucepan, and I put in the spices, that poultry spice with it, and then cook it till, you know, simmering, not really boiling
poultry
hard.
Poultry spice, but, as in bells?
Yeah, like bells. Put a little bit of that in it, because so now you're already leaning it towards
the
poultry.
You're simmering it for how long?
Until it reduces by half.
Okay.
So, right? So that's what I mean.
Thicker now.
So it's getting thicker. It's getting more viscous. The alcohol burns off. And you're left with this really flavorful reduction of poultry spice and red wine. And then what I do is I take chicken broth, just whatever your favorite brand of canned chicken broth is, you know, either in the box or the can.
All the food tests and all the magazines like Swanson's.
Sure, Swanson's a good one. But whatever your favorite is, you put that in, bring that back up to a simmer, right? And then I thicken it with cornstarch. Now, take it off the stove, and now I don't worry about flavoring it any more than that at this point. Say this is the few days before, you can refrigerate. Say this is now, you can take that, cool it down, put it in your refrigerator, and then I pack it in small containers and put it in the freezer. Right? So you can freeze that ahead of time. Then you're going to roast a turkey, right? Or like Lori said, if you deep fry your turkey, you don't get gravy, so you have to do this step. But if you're going to roast your turkey, when I take the turkey out of the roasting pan, I take this already made kind of gravy, what I call starter.
Pre-gravy.
And then I put it in my roasting pan and I scrape up with a little bit more water. Oh, I scrape up what's
in
there.
Crusty bits.
Yeah, the crusty bits. So now you're taking what was a stressful part of your Thanksgiving dinner and you're making it so easy because you take your turkey out of your pan, you degrease the pan, you know, by taking the grease out of the pan, and then you just add a little water to the pan, and then you take your already made chicken broth gravy, put it in there, and heat it up.
On the stovetop,
getting all those little bits, put it in a little gravy boat, and you're off and running.
Oh.
Finish it with a little butter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And that's the secret of where we're not using a half a stick of butter for your gravy. We're using butter as a flavoring agent. So you just need one or two pats of butter in that gravy to give that buttery mouthfeel and flavor.
And cornstarch is the way to go. A lot of people use flours or make a roux, which is a flour butter cooked mixture. Cornstarch is just so easy. It's equal parts cornstarch to cold water. You make what's called a slurry with
stir
your fingers.
Up.
Yeah, and you make this little
cornstarch water.
Cornstarch water, but it's a little thick. And then you take that as your liquid is simmering. You just very slowly drizzle that slurry in while you're whisking it until you get to the thickness you want.
Ah, there
so
you go.
Simple.
So do-ahead gravy.
Do-ahead gravy.
You just have that one last step on Thanksgiving. Now, let's say that somebody is getting gravy in a can because they don't feel skilled.
Watch Alex's face when you say that.
No, that would be Lori.
That's right. That would be me.
Again, what is wrong
with
that?
Let's brainstorm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying, how do we doctor that canned gravy from the supermarket to have it take a step up? So what would we do? Chris, do you have an idea?
Oh, totally. So start with the same way I start with my gravy starter. Take some red wine and reduce it. Don't put any spice or seasoning in it because that gravy usually has a lot of salt and seasoning in it. So just take some red wine, reduce it to a little bit more. So say you started with the cup, get it all the way down to a quarter cup so it's very strong in flavor. Then I add that canned gravy to it. Right? And then I will do the same step as I did with my other gravy, and I will take that mixture and put it in the roasting pan with a little bit of water and scrape up the bits with it. It's already pre-thickened, and I'm telling you, if you bought a good quality canned gravy, no one's going to know you did this.
Yeah, Alex.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, Alex. listen, and if you don't believe me, I will throw one more at you. Ready?
Yeah.
I never make pie crust. Everyone thinks my pie crust is
the best on earth. Let's do this tip because I love when you do this.
I buy Pillsbury because that's my favorite brand, and it's always in one
it
of those
end caps. It is nice
and
flaky and buttery.
It's nice and flaky and buttery, and what I do to make it look like it's not like the one you bought is I take my cutting board. I have a large cutting board. I flour it, and I take that pre-made pie crust, and I put it on the floured surface, and I put a little more flour on top of it, and I roll it to where it's a little bit thinner, because it's a true tell if you get a pie crust that's pre-made or someone used one. Exactly. You can tell by the thickness. You're like – and because no one can get the pie crust all the same thickness except for Pillsbury. So you sort of – and you make it a little uneven too, so it's thicker on one side and thinner on the other.
A little
and
flour you, on
and
your
you
nose
leave no yeah yeah and you leave, not just that, but you leave a little flour on the pie crust, so when you look underneath mm-hmm. it like, mm-hmm. there's a little flour mm-hmm. so of course
you
made
the part
it.
About burning the container yeah.
burning the but these are, you know, listen, I guess this is what the deal is. In the beginning of this kind of processed food, the quality mm-hmm. wasn't there. Fast forward to modern times, now the quality of this stuff is much
Let
better.
Me ask you a question. Is it possible to take one pat of butter and just run it along the inside of that crust that you're going to pre-bake? Can you do that?
See, of course. I'm going to start doing that. I never thought of that. That will make it even look and taste even more like homemade. No one will ever know.
Really?
Oh, wait. Did I just say that on the air? No one outside this listening area will ever know.
We're on the internet. Can I just say that again?
But we have listeners in Paris and London.
And they're all screaming. But no,
Colorado?
Listen, these shortcut things, even the French chef Jacques Pepin, who's, you know, a guy who is brought up in making everything, he always says to me he uses the supermarket as his sous chef, and he goes to the salad bar to buy pre-cut vegetables.
Yeah, he does.
And
he,
that
in a
is
bag,
genius.
Too. Yeah, he does. Yeah. He just says, there's why should I stand though. Around and
– Yeah, but if you have – yeah, but it's more expensive. But if you're rushed for time like you are during the holiday, it's a win-win.
All right, let's turn to damage control, where we want to save you a lot of headaches. So we're going to start ticking off the things that have and can go wrong. Probably number one to the turkey hotline would be my turkey is not all the way defrosted. So you want to make sure that you're taking your turkey out in time so that it gets a chance to defrost if you're not buying fresh turkey.
I will even throw one better on that. Even if your turkey is defrosted in the refrigerator, before you put it in the oven, take it out 45 minutes to an hour before and let it come up to room temperature. You will cut down significantly your cooking time because you're not taking it from 40 to, you know, whatever internal temperature. You're taking it from like 60 to internal temperature.
And make sure your oven temperature is correct.
That's another good one.
Because that happened to me last year, too. Yeah.
Find that out ahead of time.
Yeah, buy
so
a
now's
thermometer.
A good time.
Right, buy a little thermometer in the grocery store, an oven thermometer. Put it in there. Set your oven to 350. Wait 45 minutes. Open the door and look to see if it's at 350.
So what now, do you do if it's not?
Well, you can call your oven tech guy, or you can do it in your head. A lot of times at the restaurant when my oven's off and I can tell it's off and I don't have time to have the guy come down and adjust it, you do the math. You're like, okay, I have it set at 350, but it's only 300.
So you just add.
Add 50 degrees.
Add 50 degrees. Yeah. So just to get to the real temperature.
Yes.
And here's one more thing. When you think, a lot of people think, oh, yes, I'm touching the outside of the turkey. It's defrosted. And then somebody thinks to put a hand inside the cavity, and you can feel inside it's not all the way defrosted. We can't urge you enough about that. Of course, the other problem is that people forget to take out the things that are stuffed in the cavity, the liver and the heart and kidneys and all kinds of stuff in there. So you want to take that out. Some people chop some of that stuff up to make something delicious and put it in the gravy. Yeah. So that's problem number two. Another problem is that people say, I just can't get the turkey to brown enough without drying out. Well, one of the tips is, but people don't like the aesthetics of this, is to have the butcher cut the turkey up into pieces and roast it in the pan that way. Well, you know, people just, they don't like the drama of all those pieces coming to the table. So how do you, with the rub that I love, that fennel coriander rub that is on our website right now that I gave earlier in the show, and the olive oil, it browns. But if you've got something or no rub and it doesn't brown, Chris, what do you say?
All right, well, let me start first by the cutting it apart. My editor and the person I work with, Linda Juca, what she does is she disjoints the legs and it cuts the cooking time and it cooks more evenly. So where the drumstick is and the thigh of the turkey, she just takes a knife and she cuts into it and she lays them flat. So wait,
Linda,
she,
that's clever.
She cooks it that way. It cooks faster and more even. So now you're saying, oh, but it's not going to look nice aesthetically to the table. So what you can do is you can just get some little butcher's twine, right? And when you serve it, pull it back up and tie it.
To invite a plastic surgeon?
No, and just tie it. Just no, just tie the two. Yeah, no, tie the two little legs back together, and then you have your presentation. It's only for a couple of minutes until you start carving it anyway. So that's a good way to.
And please, people, I'm not going to be offended if the legs are lying on the platter.
No.
I'm not going to be
offended. Listen, no, because it's true, because the way the bird is naturally, if you roast it the way it's supposed to be roasted, you're always going to end up with some parts cooking before other parts, because the breast
that's
is exposed.
That's what foil is for.
But even with foil, it doesn't come out. The breast is always going to come to the temperature before the legs and the thighs.
Because it's
higher. Now, if you buy chia pets right now and start them growing, you can just put them where the joints were.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
And make sure your turkey is turned the right side.
Yeah, some people think that if you turn the turkey upside down, in other words, breast down, and then halfway through your roasting, flip it back, it will brown.
Yeah, you want
to
try that?
All the juice goes to the top. I've never done this.
I won't even try that. The thing's like 12 pounds.
Or more.
No,
and
I'm
hot.
Not. Yeah, and
you do,
hot.
You do it with those asbestos gloves.
No.
You know, people deep fry turkeys in garbage cans. So
listen,
this is nothing.
This is
turn it over.
Cooking a turkey should be the easiest thing. It should not be intimidating. And browning, go back to the way we used to do it. And the number one way to get a turkey brown is to take just a couple minutes in the cooking process and just baste it. And you don't need one of those bulby baster things. I do it with a spoon. And it doesn't have to be fancy.
It's not
just
as fun.
It's not as fun.
Yeah,
but take your whatever.
What about foil on the outside to keep it from browning too much, too early?
Or cheese cloth,
right?
Or cheesecloth.
We always use cheesecloth.
Damp cheesecloth.
Yeah,
right?
But then you
wine,
but you want to take
butter,
but you want to take that off at some point so you can get it brown, right? Because if you leave that on throughout the whole cooking, you're not going to get any brown.
So when do you want to take it off? About a half hour before.
Yeah, half
it's
hour
done?
Before. I say go for 45 minutes. That way, it leaves you that little extra time. And if you get it brown too quick, you can always put that foil back on.
Here's a controversial question: do you believe if you buy a commercial turkey in the supermarket with the button, do you believe the button? Or do you put a thermometer in and go with that instead of the button? Have they engineered the button so well now that, in fact, your turkey won't be overcooked and super dry?
The button takes it to the point of what I think
no
is overcooked.
Return.
Well, yeah, it takes it to the point of overcooked, because even if you look on the USDA, and that's what I always tell
lawsuit
everyone.
Proof.
Yeah, look at the USDA website for the what they say the internal temperature of the turkey is, and they've even lowered it a little bit now. But that little timer thing, that's going to pop at what? I think it's 165, and that is taking it right to the top. So you don't have room for error anymore. So if you do wait, I say do both. Use your thermometer and use that little thing, and if it pops by the time you bring it to the table, that's perfect. If you read up about it ahead of time, even Lori said she did something earlier that I was shocked at, and then I was like, I do this all the time, not for cooking, but for things that I'm intimidated about. Like just the other day, I had to replace a switch on a vacuum for a friend of mine, and I couldn't figure out how to take the plastic parts apart. YouTube. So watch a YouTube video of someone cooking a turkey. And Lori, did it not take that stress out of the first time you did it a little bit?
A little
because
bit,
because you saw it being done.
Depends who you're watching, too. Some people.
That's right.
Like, find someone you trust.
Here's a tip. If you are wearing a necklace, get away from the oven. Because if you know this, a lot of guys, unless they wear giant gold chains, high sopranos, or athletes.
If this happened to you?
Oh, all the time. I'll be standing there, and all of a sudden, my neck is on fire because my necklace heats up if you go anywhere near the oven door.
And you lean, especially if you're leaning
over
at it, right?
On Thanksgiving, especially, you're in and out of the oven so much. Take off the necklace. So that's another thing.
Good tip. You also have to remember to chill your white wines ahead of time.
Yes, that's a good one on
that's
the wine.
That's a very important
and
point.
In a pinch, you can take an ice bucket. Add ice, add water, add salt, make a slurry, and in 10 minutes you can chill a bottle down. And
that's
then rinse
right.
it off to get the salt.
And
that's
in fact, that's what
tip.
I do to keep my sparkling wine cold through the whole meal on the table. I salt in there all the time. Also, I like a little slightest chill on my red wine. So I will put it in the refrigerator for 10, 15 minutes.
Or the basement. We actually keep our reds down in the basement and then bring them up, and it's like, perfect 55 degrees.
Thank you, Alex Provence of Eater and Goodman. Anything you heard us talking about on this Thanksgiving prep show, from my favorite coriander fennel spice rub with olive oil on the outside of the turkey, to the cream corn recipe, to the sparkling wine that we think goes great with the main meal itself, not just before or after, but through the entire meal. Go online to our website, as so many people are doing, at WNPR.org. Click on Programs for the Faith Middleton Show. The Food Schmooze airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.